The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin right over there, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine.
That didn't sound sincere.
Yeah.
What's going on with
you? Okay. Sports suck.
Oh, what sport? Golf, specifically?
Thunder, golf.
Oh, yeah. Kelly's not having a day.
All of it.
I was on the Nuggets, plus the points.
Me too, but
yeah.
Whoop-de-doo, Basil.
Because you're Thunder, you have big Thunder futures is what you're trying to convey to us.
Yeah. Nuggets first quarter, Nuggets plus 5.5. That was all fine and dandy. Yeah, sweet.
By the way, PGA Championship, what Kelly's referring to, Jonathan Vegas, who had the first round lead at 7-under. He has 1 over for the day through 3. He is still in the lead, though. 6-under par, 1-stroke lead over both Cam Davis and Tyrrell Hatton, not to mention Aaron Ray in there as well. Aaron Ray, pardon me. Ryan Gerard, also 1 shot back. He has not teed off yet. Max Homa, the story of the morning, though, who is 2 shots back along with Adam Scott, Colin Morikawa, and others. Max Homa shot a 30 on the back nine, which is his front nine for the day.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is 30 good? I'm told that's good.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
Being told in my ear that that's good.
An eagle on a part four is pretty good.
So who are your bets on? Your bets on the big names?
Yeah, let's see. I need Bryson to have a big morning. That would be nice. He is currently 1 under, I believe. Yeah, 1 under par for the day, for the tournament. Need him to pick it up. Rory had an absolute crap day yesterday. Justin Thomas out there this morning, too. I believe he's doing okay.
Scotty's only 4 back, 2 under after yesterday. Leader now at 6 under. He has yet to tee off today. I may have made a 15-1 play on Scotty to have a low round today.
Oh, nice. I don't hate that. I don't hate the outright price on him right now either. I think just the wrote it up. We're doing write-ups on VSiN.com after every round, so you can catch those after each round. Heading into the next one, we're off throwing out bets. I think Scheffler at over 3-1. I know it's shorter than what he was pre-tournament, Gil, but if you just look at where the leaderboard is and who's in front of him, it's a bunch of dudes that are not going to last. Sorry, Johnny Vegas, Cam Davis. I know Dave and Jensen have bets on him. I've bet Cam Davis a lot. He had like a historic putting ground yesterday. It's not gonna last. Jonathan Vegas, I don't think it's gonna last. Hatton and Aaron Rye, okay, legit players. Max Homa though, like he struggled. It's a bunch of garbage on this leaderboard.
Bunch of dudes that aren't gonna last, says Kelly.
Mud balls, Gil.
Kelly's doing a different show over here.
Just blaming the mud for yesterday.
Oh, Scotty was not happy about
the mud. No. It actually is pretty ridiculous.
Well, if you hit it in the middle of the fairway, you shouldn't have to deal with that.
Yeah, well, I don't even pick a side on this because it's blame. The blame goes all around for me. It's the PGA Tour has coddled these guys by letting them play lift clean in place basically every week that it rains on the PGA Tour. So the guys get used to playing that way. They don't get used to playing through these muddy ball conditions, and then they get stuck with it because it's a major. They don't want to change the rule.
All right. Only one tennis play today, but it's already started. Again, that's for VSiN subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport at VSiN.com/picks have the over 22 games in the Musetti Alcaraz match that's taking place that just started this morning. Carlos already up a break, though, I see, in set number one. To the NBA. By the way, on the show today, I should probably say this at the top. We always do, but we got into the golf talk. Steve Fezzik will join us hour number two for Fezzik Fridays. No Felica today because Felica is in Europe. He's on a European trip, a Felica family vacation once again. They're in Prague, Czechoslovakia. Czech Republic. Pardon me for not knowing my 2025 geography. Czech Republic. He's in Prague right now. Mike Somich will join us. He is not in Prague. He is here to talk Preakness with us. The second leg of the Triple Crown. Somich nailing the superfecta in the Derby. Nick Whalen, our buddy, co-host of Prop Points here at the network. We'll talk NBA and more with us. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And I guess we have some Are We Sure lag from yesterday.
Yeah.
We had a couple minutes on it yesterday.
Yeah.
What we didn't get to yesterday on Estamos Seguros. And there you go. All of that. But I'll tell you what Fezzik has. Fezzik has got plays in the NFL week one that he's made. He'll discuss his strategy there and a whole bunch more. We'll do that with Fezzik later. NBA, though, last night, as we just touched on moments ago. We are going to a Game 7 in the Nuggets-Thunder series. Kelly is not a happy man. Yesterday, Game 6, Nuggets staving off elimination. They led by 10, the Nuggets did, in the first quarter, 30-20. But a run by the Thunder to end that frame made it 31-28 Denver. And then OKC led by as many as 12. Do you even remember this part of the game?
Oh, yeah, I did. It was the turning point in the game.
58-46. OKC led this with 2:05 left in the second quarter. And then a Brown three made it 58-49. That's when SGA committed his fourth foul. That's
stupid.
Right, fourth foul in the second quarter. Didn't end up really affecting him, I don't think, though. And Brown bookended a 12-0 run, basically, at that point, right? We went from 58-46 to a 58-58 tie in a matter of moments. A Dort three gave the Thunder a three-point lead at the end of the half. Brown had 15, SGA had 14 to lead both teams. Third quarter, Denver scored the first six of the quarter to extend that run to 18-3. And most of that quarter, the third, was nip and tuck. No team led by more than three until 80-80 late. Nuggets go on a 10-0 run with Julian Strother scoring eight of them.
Yeah.
You see that coming?
No, Nuggets have been desperate for just someone else to step up and provide some scoring. Strother, the whole role player at home situation, right, Gil, comes up big in the moment. But yeah, end of second quarter, end of third quarter, just amazing for the Nuggets, brutal for the Thunder.
It was Ray Leonard stealing rounds from Marvin Hagler.
Yeah,
is what
yeah,
it was doing.
Yeah, great call, actually.
90-82, Denver at the end of three. Murray, who was sick all day, 22-5-7 at that point. Brown, 19-8-4, and Jokic, 18-13-6. In the fourth quarter, Denver just took him out. Led by as many as 16, 104-88. Then 109-93 with 3:54 to go. Then they messed around with their food a little bit, as the kids say. OKC did get it to within eight, but that was with 56 seconds left to go. Denver hangs on for a 119-107 win. SGA 32 in defeat. Jokic finishes 29-14-8. Murray 25-8-7, and Brown 23-11-5. Strother with 15 off the bench. And Denver forces Game 7 in OKC on Sunday, where it is the old sphincter tightener there for you, Kelly.
Yeah.
Apologies for that one.
I bet Thunder on the Nuggets on the open, 8.5.
Does the winner of Game 7 win the NBA championship?
Yeah, we said that yesterday, or what, 2 days ago, that we thought yes. The one thing I was thinking about after we had that discussion, I'll still go with yes, but Nuggets have not matched up well with the Timberwolves in the past. So
you never know.
You never know.
Styles make fights, Kelly Bidlin.
Styles make fights.
OKC, a 7.5-point favorite, installed as a 7.5-point favorite. Game 7 on Sunday for the right to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Total is 212.5.
Yeah, I at this number, I like the Nuggets. I bet at 8.5 at Boyd on the opener. I was shocked to see it this high. I thought it would come back in a little bit more with it being a Game 7, seeing how the Denver looked in Game 6. I'll be surprised if we close at this number, Gil. I think this gets shorter. I think it's Nuggets plus 7, 6.5, something like that.
Okay, that's on Sunday. Tonight, though, of course, we have a Game 6 still to determine who's going to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is the Knicks at MSG. By the way, you have the Subway Series going on cross town tonight as well.
What a huge night in New York.
What
right?
A night in New York. Madison Square Garden is going to be just a madhouse tonight for Game 6. The Knicks try to close out the Celtics. This is their second crack at this now. This time at home. It'll be the only time they get to try it at home. 2.5-point favorites are the Knicks. Totals 210. Again, the Tatumless Celtics here on the road. Any play tonight, you have to make a play in the contest, right? You have mandatory plays coming.
Yeah, I did punch the Knicks in for the contest.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in the contest. I didn't bet it. Kind of wishing I would have waited now, because I probably would have. I think I like the Nuggets in Game 7. Remember we had this conversation yesterday,
right?
Would you rather play Nuggets in Game 6 or this?
And I made my choice and I played the Nuggets.
Did you yesterday?
Yep.
Okay, good call.
Yep.
I should have done the same, because I bet that. I ended up betting that. I haven't bet this Knicks side yet. I don't know if I'm going to or not. But I did play it in the contest, and I kind of wish I didn't punch it in the contest, because I think I'd rather have the Nuggets plus the points in Game 7.
Yeah, we show those. We'll show these with Stevie Fezzik a little later on. But our VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge, which is now totally at the business end of the second round. We have to give equal time to Fezzik later today, because he and Zach Cohen tied for the lead. Co-leaders, 19-11 through two rounds. 19-11, remember, it's only ATS. Only sides full game or totals full game. That's it. Can't bet anything else. No halves, no anything.
Which has been kind of funny and irritating the past like 4 or 5 days because my NBA betting has picked back up. It's been going pretty well.
It's been fantastic.
But you played a lot of team totals and first halves and first quarters.
Well, I hope you're betting all your contest plays. I know I am. Here is the Doug Kazarian, by the way, in third place, 17-12. And then Young Gill in fourth, Kelly in fifth. Look at us. We are the sneaky, freaky brothers sneaking in from the rear. That's what we are.
Noops there still.
Fezzik and I were walking off the tennis court yesterday, and Fezzik says to me, he goes, oh, Zach caught me. I go, Stevie, we're all catching you. Don't get it twisted.
We got throw up the second round one, fellas. That's the that's the real standings right there. Look at that. Mr. Gil Alexander, number two.
Zach and I. If I could only put my finger on what might that might be about right there. Stevie, though, in third. Here's the thing. Again, I'll say this to Steve's face later. I said it to Zach yesterday when he was on with us. Stevie's superpower is he's great at contests, right? He's great at game theory. He's great at getting the best of it. He knows what he's doing technically. Doesn't know a damn thing about basketball. And that's why I said when we first started this and he was on, I said, Carl Sack put us both in here just to pollute the whole thing. And we're polluting it.
But that's what makes these types of things fun, right?
It's so
like,
much fun.
Absolutely.
So much fun. Yeah.
Like, Fezzik might not be known as the biggest NBA guy, but he's a huge contest guy.
Huge contest
guy. And it's what you said to Zach yesterday. Zach's a huge NBA guy.
That's
he's not much of a contest
guy. It's awesome. $3,000, by the way. I mentioned mine going behind the glass to all the people that make this show possible. Stevie corrected me yesterday. He said, mine are going to the room attendance at Circa specifically. If Stevie wins, room attendance at Circa. How about that? Kelly's.
I don't know what that means.
Confused. Coming back.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Did I forget YouTube TV? I think I skipped YouTube TV either. What happened to me?
You might have.
A little short circuit.
I don't know. You're so automatic with that. I just kind of tuned it out.
I'm AUTOMATIC. Who's that from?
No idea.
Prince. Okay, here's the deal. Fezzik Friday's coming up on the show. Steve Fezzik joins us. We were just talking about Fezzik off air. I was saying about the contest earlier how he's a contest guru. The man wins contests, but doesn't really know anything about the NBA. And we just got word from Nick Whalen that Steve Fezzik compared Cooper Flagg to Tyler Hansbrough off air. Is that what he did in this podcast?
That's what I alleged.
Stay in your lane, Stevie Fezzik.
Alleged accusation.
He'll be joining us here momentarily. Talk all things. He's got NFL plays that he has made for week number one. He'll explain why he made them, what he might do with them. Other NFL thoughts, some betting suggestions from Stevie coming up. But first, ladies and gentlemen, off the superfecta call heard around the world at the Kentucky Derby. Ladies and gentlemen, the co-host of Ready, Set, Bet, and he's got his own little horse racing thing today at 2:10 p.m. Eastern. Samo bombing with Mike Somich, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. We got such a phenomenal sports weekend here. We've got the PGA Championship going on. There's chaos over there. We've got the NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, schedule release in the NFL, and of course, the second jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness, coming up here tomorrow. So super excited for this weekend.
Okay, before we get, I know people want to hear everything you have to say about the Preakness. It's a 9-horse field at Pimlico. The last Preakness Stakes at Pimlico in the current structure of the building, the 150th Preakness. But before we get to that, a couple hockey thoughts from you, maybe bets or maybe just general thoughts on this NHL postseason.
It's been a phenomenal postseason. I think one of the things that you can really take away is the struggles that Connor Hellebuyck has had on the road. The Winnipeg is a play-on team at home. They're a team I'm looking to fade on the road. We played the Jets -1.5 yesterday, +205. That got home. I'm going to zigzag right back to the other side. Dallas Stars, Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night. I like the Stars. I just don't trust Road Hellebuyck at this point. And you can get Dallas -1.5, +177 out there in the market. So I like taking a big shot here. Other thing you got to think about, in elimination games, we are seeing goalies get pulled significantly earlier. So this is an elimination game for Winnipeg. You can expect that Hellebuyck is out of the net with 2.5, 3 minutes left in the third period if they are down a goal. That's a positive here if you're playing the Stars minus the goal and a half, because much more likely you're going to see an empty netter for Dallas there. I think Dallas takes care of business, moves on in six against the Jets here. I think Florida takes care of business tonight, but I have absolutely no interest in playing it at the current line. You're seeing as high as minus 245 out there. That's just a little bit too big of a number tonight. I do think these are the two best teams left in the NHL as well. So if you want to try a future shot here, I think taking a decent price, you can get close to 3-1 on both Florida and Dallas right now, would be the ways that I would like to go. And you're getting a decent price because the teams waiting for them have already advanced past their round. So they are the third and fourth choices simply because they are playing series, not because they're the third and fourth best teams left.
Edmonton Oilers not happy with Mike Somich's assessment there of the two best teams that are left. And by the way, you're 100% right about the goalies being, this is sort of something we've seen in hockey for the last 4 or 5 years, right? It wasn't always this way, but like even last night, right? The Stars take out the goaltender, with what, 3-4 minutes left. Like, we're down three. We're down three goals. Let's give it a shot here. Let's maximize.
This is where analytics has bled into hockey, right? You hear about analytics in football and baseball all the time. Analytics in hockey, the one thing that's really adjusted is when you pull your goalie, because it doesn't matter if you give up an empty net goal with 2 minutes or with 2 seconds left if you're down one. You'd almost rather give it up with 2 minutes, because then you have 2 minutes to pull your goalie again and try and get the two goals back. And so we are seeing more and more aggressive goalie pulls. You're seeing goalies pulled with 3 minutes left. It's one of the reasons why it's hard for me to take unders in these elimination games, because you have such wonky stuff happen at the end with no goalie in the net. So I do like the first period under a little bit tonight, if you want to play that in Florida and Toronto, but not really interested in looking at the full game under, just because it could be absolutely crazy in those last 5 minutes if this is a 2-3 goal game with empty net goals and goalie pulls and all that jazz. So I'm more interested in playing overs in the third period live in these elimination games if it is a 1 or 2 goal game heading into the third.
Okay. Don't forget Mike and Aaron Halterman today, VSiN at the track, 2:10 p.m. Eastern. Mike told us last week it was actually 2:15, but we're just going to tell you 2:10. Get there early because you don't want to miss any of his thoughts. Congratulations again on you hitting the superfecta. I was reminded of it right after the race because my entire feed was just filled with Samo Bomb tweets. So I had to text Mike. I'm like, did you just hit a superfecta? He's like, I think I did. So good on you, man. Well done. And you know what that means? When you hit something like that, people are like, oh, what's it? They're fiending to hear what you're going to say next about the Preakness. So what do you have to say in a 9-horse field that does not include Sovereignty, who won the Kentucky Derby? The favorite journalism out of the number 2 position.
Oh, I bet him last time. He did great.
Yeah. Didn't work out
for
him.
Win. Yeah. Did not. No, did
he
not.
Ran well. He ran well. He just didn't win. You should have listened to me, Kelly. I gave you Sovereignty on this show.
You did. I told Mike he's going to explain to me how to bet this to a T.
Yes. Okay. That's what we really want here is. It's like Denzel Washington said in the movie Philadelphia. Explain this to us like we're a 2-year-old. So please, the stage is yours on the Preakness. What do you got?
All right, well, we'll start out with this simple thing. Your journalism right now, plus 100, plus 110 in most fixed odds markets. He's 8-5 on the morning line. Because this is a pari-mutuel pool, not betting against the sports book, the odds adjust if you don't play a fixed odds market in this race. There is a Rogue 160 out there. It was available yesterday, BetMGM. Not sure if it's still available. If you can get journalism plus 160 in the fixed odds market, I would go ahead and lock that in right now. He's not going to go off at 8-5. He's going to get bet down in this spot, and he is a very deserving favorite. This race is an interesting one because, like you said, Gil, we've got 9 horses, but 5 of them want to be forwardly placed. We talked about the pace in the Kentucky Derby, expected a hot pace. We got the hot pace. That's what really helped Sovereignty be able to beat journalism later in that race, because journalism was closer to the hot pace than Sovereignty was. He was coming from way off it. So when I look at this race, you've got 2 horses that definitely want the front. The 1 goal-oriented for Bob Baffert was a late entry to this race. Feels like he's just in here because Rodriguez is not. The 8, Clever Again for Steve Asmussen, has been pointing to this race for a couple months. I think that is a positive thing. He also wants the lead. If the two of them hook up, it's going to be hard for either of them to win the race. Right behind them, you've got the 3, American Promise, the 6, River Thames, and the 9, Gosker, who all have early speed and could be part of that pace. And what that means is it really sets up well for horses who are going to come from a little bit off of the pace or deeper closers if you're looking to play exotics, which are, you know, exactas, trifectas, superfectas. I find it hard to believe that journalism doesn't win this race. Just with how this sets up for him, the fact that he is able, the fact that his trainer, Michael McCarthy, who has won a Preakness before, doesn't have pressure to enter him in this race. He could have just entered him in the Belmont and been the favorite in the Belmont as well. in my mind, entering in this race shows that you think journalism is doing very well at this point, and he is the best horse. If he runs his Kentucky Derby, his Santa Anita Derby, his San Felipe race, all three of those beat this field by open lengths. So I like journalism quite a bit in this spot. I'm not concerned about the two-week return because it was not a forced position, right? He did not win the Derby. He did not need to come back to the Preakness. This was a decision by the trainer and by the management to say, yes, we are going to run him here. We do believe that he is ready to roll. And if you get that effort from him, I think he wins the race. Now, from a betting perspective, that makes it a little more difficult to win a lot of money, right? It's not fun when I'm telling you to bet an even money shot in horse racing. You want the 8-1, the 10-1, the 12-1 type prices. So that means you've got to get more aggressive with your style of betting, which means that you're playing less combinations for more money. In the Derby, we played a superfecta. We had two horses on top, three in second, five in third, five in fourth for a $1 ticket. That course cost $24. Here in the Preakness, we are going to play a superfecta, but it's going to be a $5 superfecta instead of a $1 superfecta. So we're moving up the base units to $5. So if you go into your app, whatever you're using, you go to the 13th race on Saturday, you'll see SU, that is superfecta. You hit $5 on the bet, and then I'm going to put the two journalism in the win spot. So he has to win the race. Then in second, third, and fourth, I'm going to play the four horse Heart of Honor, the six horse River Thames, and the eight horse Clever Again. So the ticket would look like two. And every time I say with, that means we're switching to the next position, right? So two with four, six, eight with four, six, eight with four, six, eight. And for that ticket to win, the two horse has to win the race. And then the four, six, and eight have to run second, third, and fourth.
Any combination, any order.
So right, the two order. Has to win, two and then has the to win, next though. Three horses across the line have to be the four, the six, and the eight to cash that superfecta. It'll probably pay about what the Derby superfecta paid. That ticket will cost you $30. So $5 superfecta will cost you $30 total. I think the six River Thames is the second best horse in this race. And I don't think he is going to go off as a second choice. I think Sandman's going to take money. I think Clever Again's going to take money. I think Goal Orienton's going to take money. So I'll also be playing an exacta. So just the first and second place finishers. And I'll play what it's called a cold exacta. So I will have journalism in the first spot and River Thames in the second spot. So if it runs 2-6, first and second, that cashes as well. If you want to bet that, you go to EX under race number 13, put the two in the first position, the six in the second position. I think you're going to get back close to 12-1 on that exacta if it is able to come in. So I do like the 2-6 exacta quite a bit as well. And then I play the trifecta too, the two in first, the six in second, and then the four and the eight, the other two horses in my superfecta in that third spot. I think the four horse Heart of Honor is a very interesting closer who will be coming from off the pace. He's 12-1 on the morning line. You're going to get every bit of that on race day. He's the horse I'm trying to add some value into this ticket with.
I literally just took out my phone and took a snapshot of it.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time preparing this graphic just for this segment.
Mike, that was I just want to compliment Mike. Mike, that was a world-class simplified explanation. We really appreciate that. I think a lot of listeners do too, because that made you got all that.
I understood it.
Okay. Let's go journalism at the top, and then all the other combinations: superfecta, exacta, and trifecta from Mike. Mike, good luck. Let's see if we can go two for two here in the Triple Crown races. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. I have a big fan Lily watching, so shout out to Lily. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, there you go. Shout out to Lily.
Thanks, Lily.
SamoBomb18, if you want to follow this man on Twitter, by the way. Fezzik Fridays on the other side on a numbers game at Visa, the Esports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet and get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. As win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet. Use promo code VSiN200 to get started today. That's first with the number one, first.com/bet. Promo code VSiN200. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, alongside Behind the Glass, while Steve Fezzik joins us here for Fezzik Fridays. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ian McDonald, fewer than half the horses this race. I guess he means from the Derby. So Mike should really be able to pick all nine in order if he's any kind of handicapper. slash right. He just hit the superfect in the dirt, but if he doesn't pick 1 through 9 perfectly, what kind
he
of
he should be able to get the NASCAR 9. Yes.
Michael Salvinus is Italian cuisine for his restaurant. So I would say, depending on your price point, Carbone versus that place in Paris isn't there anymore. Mortarano's. What was the name of that place? I used to love that place.
I just know Mon Ami Gabi. Pretty good.
You like Mon Ami Gabi?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Chris Heath. Biggest season win total I made last year was UCLA under 4.5 plus 120. 5 was available at Caesars at minus 175, but only 500 over the counter. Circa was taking up to 10 dimes. I laid 3, moved the line to plus 115, felt like a sharp. It was a fun ride and lost on the final half versus Fresno. Steve Fezzik, so in case you missed the previous segment, we're just talking about a couple things. One, that he bet 4 different week one lines. And you wanted to sort of drive it home again, that you are open to betting the other side on these and creating a middle for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not anchored to these bets I'm making in terms of the teams. It's all about the price. I think it's certainly there's a universe. I'm going to get the Chargers plus 3 against the Chiefs. Absolutely. I'll play some Chargers. You look at that Dallas Philly standalone game again Thursday. What happens on standalone games? You get bargains playing the underdog. Philly killed Dallas last year. So I laid 6.5 with Philly. Wouldn't surprise me if I don't get like a Dallas plus 7.5 for the game. Maybe a Dallas first half plus 4 plus 110, you know, some crazy number. So, and that way I'm going to be given an offer I can't refuse. All right. Write a post on some of these games where I have to bet it. The number's just too good. I'm like, I can fall back. I didn't get my teeth kicked in because I can fall back to the bets I made back in May on the favorite.
And the other thing I wanted to drive home from the previous segment was this exercise of betting $10 on every season win total. Also, we talked about it from a betting perspective, but also from a, you have mentioned this to me before, which resonated, which is from a sports betting content provider standpoint, right? You would suggest that to every host just to have that as a reference point.
Yes, because obviously you can just print what the numbers are right before the game start week one. But just having that ticket in hand is a tremendous reminder, and you won't even have to look at the sheet. You'll know what the number was.
All right, let's talk broader. Let's talk NFL season wins basic strategy. You have a sort of macro strategy on this.
Yeah, play unders, all right? And here's why. Because people are fueled with optimism. Everyone's happy after the draft. Everyone's happy with their free agent acquisitions. People are optimists. Heck, people from Chicago bet on their Bears each and every year. So what happens is a drift towards overs in season wins. So if you look at all the NFL teams, all 32, average them, they should average to be 8.5. I'd make the case they really should average to be 8.4 because there can be ties in any one year, one or two ties. But the actual average is typically 8.6. Now that sounds trivial, 8.6 versus 8.4. I assure you it is not. So it turns out if you did nothing but just shop every under, all 32 teams, and played every team under, you actually are a favorite to make money because of that.
We've said this before, but I used to, when I wrote my baseball manifestos, I used to make the same point about the baseball season win total pool, that environment. 30 teams, 162 games, you should have a win total win environment of 2,430 wins, but it was always shaded to the over, right? It was always, you know, the pool itself had like 2,460 or 2,455, depending on what book. And while that, like you said, while that seems trivial, and even Roxy once said to me, he goes, I think you may make too much of that. I'm like, I'm trying to put it in the proper context. It's not the end all be all, but the way I would phrase it is if your instinct is to have a spate of overs, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly right. And how much is that worth? An 8.5 versus an 8.6? That's worth approximately 10 cents. How much VIG are you paying? 10 cents. So like, boom, you're basically negating the VIG. If there's a tie, you have things in your favor. Hey, the NFC only plays 8 home games. All right. The AFC plays 9 home games. Most people, when they do strength of schedules, they don't factor in that extra home game. So where I'm going is that I would try to mine unders in the NFC on teams. Unfortunately, be careful with the Vikings because the Vikings have 2 games, road games in Europe this year. So the Vikings actually have more true home games than road games. So they wouldn't apply.
Okay. And then we should give Drew Dinsick a shout out because he was the first person to come on here and really dive deep. See what I did there? Because that's the name of his podcast, The Deep Dive, on NFL alternate season win totals.
How good is the Dinsick life? I mean, I'm getting a free old fashioned in Vegas and I'm in hog heaven and he's in Aspen. He's at Churchill Downs. He's at Whistler. He's like the man has the lifestyle. I'm sure he'll be in Hawaii next week.
He really does have the greatest life.
He does. And the one man in the industry that clearly has the better hair than I. So there you go, Drew. Alternative total. So you give up a game, but you get these teams like plus 225. You essentially sell a game. And I was a little skeptical at first, and I ran all the math, and it turns out Mr. Dinsick is spot on, and here's why. These books use the binomial distribution when they price the distribution of these teams, but the binomial distribution is flawed. It doesn't take into consideration enough of these black swan unusual occurrences. Because what can happen?
Injuries.
Your quarterback can get hurt.
Yep.
Your team can just be much better than we thought. Look at the Vikings last year. Their season win number was 7, while the Vikings, you know, were much, much better, you know, than we thought we should be. And so because of that, when you are looking to play NFL season wins, look to take the bad number plus 220 or more and give up a game.
Yeah, Drew's very sort of, you know, cut to the chase way of saying that was, without the binomial distribution part, was the notion that the alternate season win totals are priced correctly is a complete fallacy. I'll paraphrase for him. Okay, so let's say we live in a bizarro world, and I said, and you could only do one of these two things. Let's say you could bet NFL season win totals or college football season win totals, but not both. Which is the one you should be betting generally?
College football, not even close. And here's the reason. There's some people that have been massively successful with the NFL season win market. Teddy Covers, my friend Teddy.
Yeah.
I think he's like historically like at 68%. But we have this conversation every year. I'm like, Teddy, there's no way you're going to be able to hit anything close to this going forward. And he goes, I don't know, Steve. I'm 11-3 my last 3 years. So, but
good for Teddy.
But you look at Dr. Bob Sports. All right.
Yes.
And his season wins in college football are the most incredible money making cash cow thing you'll ever see. 11-2s, 9-3s, 8-2s, year after year after year. Asterisk. Jacksonville State, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah. That was
overtime
tough.
Game, which I've only heard about from the good doctor. How many times have you heard about that
one? Just a couple.
I feel like
just
I know those teams better than any other team. Long story short, La Tech gave up a Hail Mary to Jacksonville State on the last play of the game. And so Jacksonville State went over by half a game and La Tech pushed. So it cost him like 18 units.
When Bob releases his college football season win totals at the beginning of the season in August, we literally line up, you know, virtually to just bet these as he's releasing them. Like, it's an event every year.
And think about it. It's August.
Right.
You've got 3 months to beat him to the punch if you just do the work that he's doing.
But explain why college football is your choice here. Why?
Because the markets are just wrong. Okay. The NFL, a sharp seventh grader that does the homework, can kind of land on, okay, this is about how many games. Like how hard is it to price Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City? I think or Philly, I'm going to make their season win number 11.5, and you're probably going to be very close to it. Whereas in college football, with the portal and all the movement and the changes of coaches, I mean, there can be teams that will go from, you know, 9 wins to 3 wins the very next year.
By the way, we're in a tiebreaker in set 2. So that, what does that mean in the Musetti match where Alcaraz won the first set 6-3? That means we are a push at right now because somebody's going to win the tiebreaker. So that'll be exactly 22 games. If Musetti wins, we will win the bet. So it's a free roll right now for us on Musetti. Come on, Lorenzo, get it done.
Anyone throw their rackets?
No, not in that match.
Just curious.
Why? What are you referring to, Steve? Do you think I would ever throw a racket in one of our matches? That's never happened. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just talking about in general these pros.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just curious. All right. So that's an interesting thing. And so again, the week one betting the week one stuff. You haven't bet anything deeper into the season with lines, just the week one ones?
I made a couple select ones, but they were aberrations. But part of the reason is I know I got plenty of time. Other people are going to pop the week ones, so I got to get to it before the other folks. But most people will sit back, like if there's a line off on week 5, I can go ahead and have a couple buffets, whatever, and pick it up in, you know, a week from now.
I asked Bill yesterday, how many people does he think actually bet these first week one lines? thousands, hundreds, or tens, and he said tens.
He's right.
You're one of the tens, Stevie. Hold on. More with Fezzik on the other side. We'll recap all our bets courtesy of G-Bank. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.